From Lake Itasca to Lake Pepin and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always topical, always cluttered, and suddenly upbeat Minnesota sports scene. All of our major teams, Wally, seem to be doing things that are getting people excited, having them actually think that maybe winning ways are on the way. And, of course, in the case of the Wild, they have won, but they're trying to win more, and the Twins are surprising people. The Timberwolves can only go up, and the Minnesota Vikings seem to be a trendy pick.
Examples, please.
Twins are in the wild card hunt.
All right. I can live with that.
Wild have made the playoffs now three straight years. They're trying to break through the barrier known as the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, not so sure that's going to happen, but go ahead.
The Minnesota Timberwolves won 16 a year ago. I'm going to guarantee right now they'll win at least 17 next season.
I would go along with that.
That's improvement.
I would go along with that.
And the Minnesota Vikings, my goodness, all the national guys are on their bandwagon. They're the sleeper team.
They're
such a sleeper team now that everybody knows about them, which that's the bad news.
Yeah, that's a bad news. Just like the Indians were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, picked to win the World Series.
And remember, the guys making those predictions, we know who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like you and I. They don't know anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? We could start with the Twins, I suppose. Kind of muddled through the interleague play. Some good, some not so good. I can't believe they lost 4 out of 6 to the Brewers. That's got to be bothersome. I mean, they got through it. And I think the good news about interleague play this year for the Twins, are they done with it? I think they're pretty much done with it now. They have one more series, maybe?
Yeah, I think just maybe one more.
Yeah, I think that they're pretty much done, which means I don't have to watch pitchers bat anymore. I know you love that. You and your interleague play, we get to see pitchers bat.
I like interleague play. I like to mix it up. I was glad the Cardinals came to Minneapolis.
That's fine.
And the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I could stand about one or two series a year, and then it's time to switch.
They must have at least one more series, because remember, there's interleague play now every
year round or
step of the
round.
Way because of the way they did the flip flop of the Astros from the NL to the AL.
Yeah, I know. So we get the joy of more interleague play somewhere down the line for the Twins. That is not overall. I mean, for the Twins,
yes,
interleague play is pretty much done.
The bulk of it's always in June. And they're done with Milwaukee, thankfully. Like you said, they lost 4 of 6 to the Brewers. They're not very good. They lost on Paul Molitor bobblehead day out there at Miller Park. I mean, my goodness, Molly goes back to Milwaukee and can't even win a series.
Yeah, and they did not look good in either the loss or the win of the first couple of games against Cincinnati earlier in the week. Kind of kicking the ball around. And I mean, at least they got a win out of those, out of the first two, but neither game was played very well. Speaking of which, what are they going to do with that pitching staff? Urban Santana's on the hill Sunday, 4th of July weekend. We knew it was coming. He is going to be on the hill at Kauffman Stadium against the Royals on Sunday. Urban Santana's back. So that means you now have at least 6. And if Ricky Nolasco ever comes back, you'll have 7 starters. Who's going?
Wow. Great question. Tommy Malone has pitched well.
Oh, you can't.
You can't farm him out.
No.
Yeah, maybe Trevor May. I mean, Kyle Gibson's been up and down, but, you know, they've got too much invested in him.
Yeah, it's not going to be Gibson. So, it's either going to be May or, I don't know.
Pelfrey.
Boy, Pelfrey looked terrible. He got bombed, right? That game they lost. They gave up 10 runs or whatever it is.
Against Cincy.
Yeah,
decisions.
And Alex Meyer pitched in that game, too, oh, by the way.
Yeah, his first couple of appearances out of the bullpen have not exactly reminded anybody of Dennis Eckersley. But it's early on.
Yeah, it's early.
For Alex Meyer, I think the big question is that where he's going to stay? I mean, remember, he was acquired from Washington in that Denard Span deal as, you know, to be a starter, be this fireballing starter.
It's worked out well.
And no. Exactly. And so I think to cut their losses, they thought, you know, well, let's put him in the pen. They put him in the pen in Rochester because he wasn't even winning down there as a starter. They need to get something out of Alex Meyer. If it works out that he's very good in the pen, big picture, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But he's got to work out because every time you look up, Denard Span is doing something positive for the Nats. He's hitting over 300. I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, he and Ben Revere, former Twin, tied for the league lead, the NL, with hits. Rocky looked that up, but I think that's how it played out. So again, we can talk about Byron Buxton all we want. I love the kid. He's going to be good, but he's hurt right now. And then, you know, Aaron Hicks, we know about his history. So center field remains, at this point in time, a big question mark in my eyes for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, no question about it. And there is, as you said, I mean, you talked about Buxton. Hicks has been injured, too.
Yeah.
You know, so you got a couple of guys. And part of that is because they're so aggressive. You know, head first slides, diving for balls. And those are the type of things that do get you hurt, oh, by the way. But you go back to the Alex Meyer. My goodness. And what was it on Saturday? Trevor May and Alex Meyer both pitched and gave up just a boatload of runs. Was that Saturday or Friday? Whenever Meyer came up, the day Meyer came up.
It was Friday.
Okay, it was Friday. Because they both pitched on
the opener of the Milwaukee series.
Yes, they both pitched on the same day, and they both contributed to a landslide of runs for the Brewers. And I was thinking to myself, boy, that was really nice. The two guys that we got for Revere and Span, and they combined to give up 10 runs or 12 runs, whatever it was.
Yeah, the Twins are still haunted by those deals. There's no question. I mean, they just have not gotten anything in return yet in a positive fashion. You know, again, it may change. But the early returns are in, and that's a landslide winner for the Nats and the Phillies. I know Philadelphia is struggling, but I don't think you can blame Ben Revere for that. Well, Ryan Sandberg walked away from that mess, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah, can you blame him? And May has been up and down. May has had some good appearances, and he was okay on Wednesday, but for a while anyway. But, you know, I just wonder if Trevor May is going to be the guy when they make a decision. They're going to have to decide something here. And it's either going to be him or Pelfrey. Now, I would assume that they're paying Pelfrey a lot more, so probably Trevor May. And he probably has more options available. And Pelfrey will whine, so they'll probably put May down. That would be my guess. May's either going to the bullpen or going to Rochester.
Yeah, more than likely. So, yeah, decisions for Paul Molitor and Neil Allen, pitching coach, Eddie Guardado, the bullpen coach. We'll see how it goes. I think the key for the Twins is they got to start winning some series. They didn't have a good June. So, thankfully, from the Twins' perspective, they're into July. If they can flip this thing around and start playing like they did in May and the back half of April, they'll be all right. I mean, they're still in the hunt. They're still right there in the mix.
Well, and they got the Royals this weekend. I mean, if they can, you know, if they can win at least a couple games in Kansas City and stay, you know, you just want to stay 4, 5, 6 games within that range as you head towards the All-Star break. Speaking of which, anybody besides Glenn Perkins going to be in Cincinnati on July 15th?
Torrey's making a late push to be an ad. I mean, he's been hot. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Going into the Wednesday game, he had 4 home runs in his last 4 games. He's got 12 and 44 RBI on the season, again, entering the Wednesday game against Cincy. So, boy, you have to be impressed with his numbers, because here's a guy who's 39 going on 29.
That's something.
He remember, when a lot of people were skeptical of when the Twins brought him back, oh, why are they paying him, what, $10 million to come back? They thought it was just to bring him back because of his name. No, he still has a lot of gas left in the tank. So I would say Perkins is a slam dunk. He's in as a Twins All-Star rep. And, again, each team will have one minimum. And then if anybody else goes, it would probably be Brian Dozier or Torrey Hunter. I'd be okay with either of those guys going.
Boy, second base is crowded, though.
And that's why you may get Torrey. And let's face it, All-Star game's part popularity. Torrey has a lot of it. He's got some juice.
Yeah. And who is the AL manager?
Ned Yost.
So that's right.
Kansas City.
Right. So he'll decide. Yeah. Yeah, he might pick Torrey. He's seen enough of him the last couple of years, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Torrey almost signed with the Royals in the offseason. That's the team that he really thought hard about going down and playing for, but he came back to Minnesota. Maybe Ned Yost is mad at him.
Oh, maybe that's the reason that he won't get picked.
Yeah. Now, see, if Torrey were in Kansas City, he would be an All-Star, because they're all All-Stars down there.
That's right.
Everybody but Willie Wilson's going this season.
Willie Wilson. Dear. Freddie Pottek.
Yes.
You're going to go that route.
Yeah. John Mayberry.
John
the original.
Mayberry, yes. Yeah, there were. They had a. Those are some pretty good teams. Those Royals teams from the late 70s and into the early 80s. Those are some pretty good baseball teams. George Brett, of course, is the easy one to remember. And, of course, Hal McCray in the late 70s. Those two and Rod Carew battled for a batting title, if you remember. They had that one that went down to the last day of the year, if you recall.
Yeah.
Who did Brett win that, or did Carew?
I think Brett won it. Yeah, George Brett, certainly, if you were to ask me three greatest pure hitters I've ever seen.
But George Brett's got to be right there.
Rod Carew, George Brett, Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Would be my three.
Funny, they're all left-handed.
Exactly. And I'd maybe throw Ichiro into the mix in the more modern era because his run of 200-plus hits is remarkable. But, yeah, those guys could hit the ball. They were definitely special players.
Been any Saints games lately? Well, they've been out of time.
Yeah, they've been gone. I think I'll go this weekend.
Are you gonna check in?
I believe Fargo-Moorhead returns.
Fargo-Moorhead in town for the weekend.
More Red Hawk Saint baseball.
If you haven't been, and you're looking for something to do this weekend, I would recommend giving it a whirl.
And I know you're going to go off to your posh Beverly Hills-esque type of hair salon people that do your hair, but they give free haircuts at the Saints games once in a while.
You.
Just want to let you know, out in Straightaway Center, you can get a free haircut if you want to wait about 2 hours.
By the way, Revamp Salon Spa over in South Minneapolis does a nice job.
Well, I think yours is almost free, isn't it?
They do.
Oh, I don't want to blow your cover.
They do a very, very nice job over there. They are the best.
Did they give you those Oakleys, too, you're wearing?
Wow. No, I don't roll like that.
All right.
I don't roll like that.
All right.
You know, they used to be they were for a long time the Timberwolves hair people.
That's right.
You know.
What happened there?
I don't know.
Too many losses?
No, I think they did the dance team. I don't think they did the actual Wolves. The actual Wolves, not many of them have hair.
That's true.
not much to be gained there. The girls have plenty of hair, though. Anyway. All right. We need to take a break. Rocky is waving frantically, says, yes, you do. And he's got a guest for us. Oh, we're going to, of course, we hear from Al Moss. We're going to talk a little fishing later on. Of course, 4th of July weekend. Al will fill us in on the fishing report for the weekend. What else? What else we got there?
You're going to break down the NBA draft, is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Clarence Fields is going to join us a little bit later on. That's Rocky's laughing at me. He said, it's your guest. Yes, I know. So Clarence will join us on the phone. We'll talk some NBA draft. Clarence involved in a lot of training of these high school athletes that have come through here. And, of course, two of them were drafted in the first round last week in the NBA draft. So we'll talk a little NBA draft with Clarence Fields. And then we're going to hear from Rick Spielman. We talked to him a couple weeks back, and we're going to check out that interview and get a little preview of what we can expect from the Vikings.
Sounds good. All that and more coming up. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. And we're joined now by Clarence Fields of the CRF Sports Academy. Clarence trains high school, college athletes year-round, predominantly basketball players. And Clarence, as you well know, having watched the NBA draft last week, a very high visibility situation for a couple of Minnesota athletes that go in the first round. And I think it is the first time in recorded history that two Minnesota-born high school basketball players go in the first round of the NBA draft, both Tyus Jones and Rashad Vaughn. Actually, Vaughn going before Tyus in the draft. Vaughn going to the Milwaukee Bucks in the 17 hole, and then the Cavaliers taking Tyus 24th and then eventually trading him to the Wolves. First of all, your thoughts on those two guys in general and where they went in the draft?
Well, the first two words I can think of is well-deserved. You know, I think both of these kids, you know, have worked extremely hard to get to the point, you know, that they're at, you know, mainly off the court, you know, in terms of their just working on their bodies and their skill development. And they went and produced and had great, you know, freshman years in college. And when you add some genetics to that, this is kind of how it plays out.
Yeah, and as you know, we already spoke of the Tyus Jones coming home to play NBA basketball. Boy, I don't know if you could have drawn it up any better for him. I mean, it really a dream come true. And I heard him say that exact phrase. I went to the press conference last week when he and Karl-Anthony Towns were introduced to the media, and he said, I don't know how many times he said it, dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dream come true for him, and, you know, who could have thought, you know, outside of, you know, those who were, you know, pulling the deal off. You know, I actually, you know, had an epiphany, that, he would come home some kind of way. I just didn't know, you know, how they were going to pull it off. I figured they would have had to, you know, get rid of a couple players to do it. But it sounds like, you know, it was kind of a no harm, no foul situation, and they were able to make a deal. And, you know, I think it's great for the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul to have, you know, a hometown, you know, hero, who's had a ton of success, you know, at, you know, the high school level and the collegiate level.
Yeah. All right. Let's quickly talk about Rashad Vaughn, who had a had a nice career at Robbinsdale Cooper, went and played at Findlay out in Las Vegas for his senior year of high school basketball, and then played a really kind of a nondescript season at UNLV, where he was injured, missed about half the year. But apparently he impressed people enough in these workouts prior to the draft. He ends up getting taken by Milwaukee. First round, 17th overall. Pretty good for the kid from the Robbinsdale Cooper area.
That kid is a stud. I've had a chance to, you know, spend a little time with him just in conversation, of course, watching him play. And he does everything very, very well, not to mention that he has an NBA body. You know, right now, I mean, he had an NBA body, I think, his senior year in high school.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, went on to play at UNLV for a year, and he looked like a pro his freshman year at UNLV.
Yeah.
He's more ready, in my opinion, than Tyus is, just simply because of his size, what he can do with the basketball. You know, the question is, and for both of these guys also, is just how well they're going to be able to defend at this level.
I agree. Well, Clarence, I appreciate your insights. It was a fun night last week ago Thursday to watch these two kids get taken, and of course, Carl Anthony Towns coming to the Wolves, and lots to look forward to on the basketball courts, and I'm sure we've got plenty to talk about in the coming months.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time as always, and if you guys are looking for some great training, just go to our website, www.crfsportsacademy.com.
I was going to do that, but you did it for me. Thanks. Thanks, Clarence. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Clarence Fields from CRF Sports Academy here on Minnesota Score Radio. We're back with more right after this timeout. Brindley's Harbor Resort is the place to be on legendary Leech Lake. Brindley's offers terrific harbor service, including 37 slips, rental boats, fish cleaning, and much more. Brindley's Harbor is a great place to stay, with cottages and lodging and the highest quality, fully supplied rentals on Leech Lake. So this year, come enjoy their quarter mile of level shoreline and some of the best fishing around at Brindley's Harbor Resort, where we really talk fishing. Visit them online at brindleysharbor.com.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Good to hear from Clarence Fields, breaking down some of the local angles in the NBA draft, which was last week. And it was really a pinnacle moment for Minnesota, where you had two kids born in the North Star State drafted in round one by Milwaukee, Rashad Vaughn, and then Cleveland takes Tyus Jones, and later becomes a Timberwolf through a trade. But that's pretty good stuff for the state of Minnesota. And, of course, the Wolves had the number one overall pick, so the spotlight was shining on Minnesota on draft night.
Yeah, I went over to the press conference last Friday, and it was an excited crowd inside the brand-new Mayo Clinic Center right across the street from Target Center. And Tyus did a nice job. And, boy, I'll tell you, I am impressed with Anthony Towns. He is an impressive young man. I mean, if basketball doesn't work out for some reason, he is pretty sharp. I think he is going to be just fine no matter what he does. That's a sharp kid. 19 years old, too.
Yeah, and I think what's even more impressive is he wants to be here. Obviously, Tyus does. I mean, this has to be one of those scenarios where Tyus just can't believe how it played out. I think he just wanted to be in the NBA. Well, now he's not only in the NBA, but he's with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, you know, for Carl Anthony Towns to embrace this state, this fan base, you know, I think it's sincere, by the way. It's just going to be win-win moving forward. If they start to win basketball games, this thing's going to blow up. They still got to win. I mean, that's the hard part here. They've got all the pieces in place now, and there's certainly been a tsunami of goodwill toward the Wolves the last week or so. Now the hard part.
Yeah, winning.
Assemble the talent, win some games. I'm not even going to throw a number on what should happen next season. I think that would be a dangerous thing to do, but there has to be certainly signs of dramatic improvement. You know, when you're 16 and 66 and you basically went into the tank the last week or two to get that lotto pick or get in position to win it, and that paid off. They did. Now you got to start winning. So Western Conference, as we know, top to bottom, very good, and nobody's going to give you anything. It's going to be tough to get in one of those first eight slots that get you into the playoffs. Is that even realistic for next season? Who knows? But as this group blossoms, they should be pretty good. If all goes well and they blossom, they're going to be good. The other thing is they got to stay healthy. That's never been something the Wolves have been good at.
Oh, that is. Well, that's been, I mean, that's been their Achilles heel, so to speak. It really has, as an organization, is the inability to keep their best players healthy. And for that matter, in some years, to keep anybody healthy. I mean, Rubio and Pekovic are poster boys for that. And I think Pekovic is chronic. I think Rubio's is incidental, but probably has something to do with the style.
Yeah, I mean, you examine the injuries, and again, you hate to label a guy injury prone. Some guys have bad luck.
Yep.
Now, some guys aren't tough. In other words, they don't play through injuries. They're going to take the first chance they can to sit out. Maybe they say, you know, I'm not going to put myself at risk. Maybe ultimately that's the smart thing to do if you're trying to make money. But I put a lot of stock, though, in toughness and, you know, just being a grinder and somebody who says, you know what, I don't feel that great today, but I'm going to go out and give it my best shot.
Yep.
So you're right about Rubio. I mean, what, he rolled the ankle
on
against
Kobe.
Orlando. And then, yeah, the Kobe, I think, was a knee bump.
Yep.
And then the last one was the ankle roll. So that's kind of a bad luck thing. It's more like the Byron Buxton. Well, he jams his thumb because he's, what, going back into a base, right? Would you call him fragile because of that? Maybe that's bad luck. Maybe that's being a little bit foolish in your approach, and he has to tone it down a bit. So I don't know. But the bottom line is this. If you're not on the floor or not on the field or the ice, you're not helping your team. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think back to Larry Bird, and he had, I can't remember who told him, I think it was John Havlicek that told him, said, hey, if you keep diving for balls like you do, your career is not going to last as long as it should or as long as it could. And Larry Bird said, I don't want it to last any longer if I can't dive for basketball. And it did end up in the end cutting him short.
You
know, he had the back problems at the end of his career, which were chronic. I mean, that he could never get it back to where he was as a result. And, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, probably, what did he play? I mean, I guess he eked out, what, 13 years?
Yeah.
That was about it. But he was probably a 15 or 16-year player at a higher level had he not been injured, you know, so much. And as a result of, you know, that's just how he played. And it's hard for those guys to turn it off. You know, how do you tell Byron Buxton not to dive for balls in the outfield?
I agree.
Or not to head first slide?
I think there's a fine line there.
Yep.
I remember Chuck Foreman telling me a couple years ago about Adrian Peterson. You know, AP would never go out of bounds to avoid contact. That's not in his DNA, right? But what Chuck said to me once is sometimes you have to have the mindset of, I'm going to live for another down.
Yes.
If all you're going to get is another yard, but you're going to have a blow-up contact situation as opposed to going out of bounds and avoiding the hit, you are better off going out of bounds. And you brought up Larry Bird. I think on the flip side, I think about Franco Harris. When we were kids, Pittsburgh Steelers, they won four Super Bowls in the 70s. This is one of the great running backs to ever play the game. But he had a knock on him. He was soft. He didn't like contact. He would go out of bounds to avoid it. Guess what? Franco lasted a long time.
Yeah, he did.
Made a lot of money, and they won a lot of games. I didn't think he was soft. I thought he was smart. Now, if sometimes you're going to get hit, I'm not using football as an example, and in basketball, sometimes you got to get on the floor and lay out for a ball, and in baseball, you got to dive for a ball. Be smart about it, I guess, is my point. Is there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, well, and, you know, immediately what comes to mind as far as Minnesota fans is Robert Smith. I mean, you know, he ran out of bounds plenty of times, and I don't necessarily think that he was doing it to elongate his career. I think there was a piece of that, but I think it was, he was doing some of that to make sure that he could walk at the age of 50.
No, I think you're right. Well, Robert Smith, pretty bright guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he, you know, he'd take the telescope and look up into the sky at night. I mean, he was studying stars while the other guys were studying playbooks or other things.
What other things?
Yeah, I don't know. Riding on love boats.
Okay. Jeez.
So, I mean, I'm a big fan of tough guy athletes, and, you know, we've always harped on durability. To me, it's more important than ability. But I think you just have to be smart, and each situation is unique. And, you know, you live for another play, live for another down. Just be smart in how you sacrifice your body. That's all I'm saying.
Are you one of those on board with the re-signing of Devin Dubnyk by the Wild?
Yeah, I am. I mean, did they cough up too much, commit too many years? That's debatable. I know Lou Nanny thinks that maybe they hadn't seen enough out of him to give him that big of a deal. But I think on the flip side, what were their options? You know, where were they going to go? Because then if you didn't sign Dubnyk, you're right back in the same spot you were a year ago, and you have to find another Dubnyk. And I just think that's risky. I think the key to me on Dubnyk is he won over his teammates, and he came in, had an instant impact. And everything, as you know, in sports is a risk. I mean, the Wolves took Karl Anthony Towns. It all looks good now. 5 years from now, what are we going to be saying? We don't know. Hopefully, we're going to say, hey, great pick. But you don't know. Signing Dubnyk, 5 years from now, we may laugh at it. Again, you don't know. I think you just got to go on. You know, you do your research. I'm sure Chuck Fletcher did a lot of it. But sometimes it's a gut feeling. Look, this guy came in and turned a spark into a bonfire. He saved, I mean, we've said it all along. He saved the Wild season. Without Dubnyk, where would they have been?
They would not have been in the playoffs,
exactly.
I can tell you that right now.
And then what are we talking about now? They got to get a goalie.
Yeah.
Well, who are you going to get? There's a few guys out there, but
probably
you're not getting Lundqvist or Crawford or Quick or Carey Price. I know that.
Yeah, you're right. And so they get a guy who...
Or Rene.
Well, and he has, you know, like you said, he's endeared himself to his teammates. He had a pretty good, you know, 3-4 month run there. So there's nothing wrong with that. I like it. I like it. I think you could make the argument that for a goaltender, he's in his prime. What, he's 28, 29 years old?
He's 29. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so,
I would agree.
It's a 4 or 5 year deal.
I believe it's 4.
Still.
The double check.
Either or. Whatever the case is. For a goaltender, that's fine.
You know, Mike Greenlay, the Wild TV guy, said something the other day that made me think. He's a former goalie, so there's some bias. But he said he thinks goalie is the most important position in pro sports. And the reason he said it is, look, you can say quarterback in football, but hey, half the time you're on the sideline. Your defense is bailing you out. You could say pitcher in baseball, but you're only going once every 5 days, right? Goalie is always on the ice. I mean, yeah, the play may be in the other end, but you're always on the ice, and if the puck comes back quickly the other way, you got to be ready to go. So it is a critical position. You have to get it right.
Yeah.
And I think the Wild have. I think Dubnyk will be fine. I think he's a character guy, and let's hope that he still has a hunger about him. I think that's the only thing I would worry about. Well, now he's got the money. Will he relax? But I doubt it. How could this team really relax? They got humbled by Chicago. And Dubnyk didn't play that great. So they should have all the motivation in the world to say, you know what? We have to work a lot harder because we aren't as good as Chicago, and they're in our division.
And Chicago has, as you said, they have set the bar awfully high.
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah,
I think Minnesota would take just one of those three cups.
Yeah, that's for sure. Vikings, any thoughts? We're gonna hear from Rick Spielman, the Vikings general manager, here in a few minutes. Any thoughts as we get close in on training camp?
Well, it's kind of the downtime now. Finally, the NFL out of the news cycle for just a few weeks before they just kick it back into high gear here in later this month. It's already July. Hard to believe. I think there's reason to be optimistic. They're going to need Teddy to be healthy. Again, there's that durability thing that comes into play. I'm not enamored with the backup, Sean Hill. I mean, you might be able to get by with Sean Hill for a game or two, but big picture.
I was thinking a down or two.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. I keep Teddy upright, but it puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line. And
your guy, Matt Khalil. I mean, that's a big deal.
It sure is.
I mean, that could change the course of the season.
Yeah. I Look, I think Adrian's a big bonus. I really do. There's just no question in my eyes, and Teddy's got to be elated. I really want to see Kyle Rudolph, again, going back to the injury thing. He needs to stay on the field. They need Kyle Rudolph.
Yes.
I mean, I especially if I'm Teddy, I want to have a real connection with my tight end. Today's NFL, that tight end's a safety net for a lot of quarterbacks. And Kyle's probably not going to get double teamed a lot when you got AP. You got Mike Wallace, who can blow the top off of defense with his speed. Then you have the kid Charles Johnson showed us a lot last year. And Cordero hopefully will blossom and get better. I mean, I don't think you can necessarily say I'm going to take Kyle out of the play. So he should get some single coverage and be able to get open and be Teddy's go-to guy if need be. But defensively, I believe this is where this team is going to win. Mike Zimmer's a defensive coach.
Yep.
Xavier Rhodes at the corner is very good. Harrison Smith, I like him a lot at safety. I think Everson Griffin, Anthony Barr are young, athletic guys. They should be athletic.
And they drafted
and
defense.
Physical, yes. There's really no reason they shouldn't be athletic and physical and put their stamp on teams week in, week out. In fact, I think both the occupants at TCF Bank Stadium, Gopher football, Vikings football, will be defensively tilted. I never thought I'd say it, but the Gophers on defense are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And when's the last time you were able to say that?
The days of Carl Eller and Bobby Bell.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Trey Waynes starts right away?
Ooh. Well, I'm sure they'd love him to. Well, there's a chance. Or he gets spot duty, you know, maybe nickel situations, dime packages. We're going to find out pretty quick. In a few weeks, you'll be driving to Mankato. You'll be able to scout him with your own eyes.
Yeah, maybe
I know
once.
You're eager about it.
Yeah. Those days are gone, man. I used to like going down there. It's kind of a, I don't know.
Not as much fun as it used to
be. No, it's nowhere near. It's very, very regimented now.
Corporate.
That's
the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it ain't what it used to be. I mean, we used to have much greater access to the players. And
I'm kind of down on the NFL. I know you never thought you hear me
say
that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold the phones. Let's bulletin. Write this down if you are new to this show, or if you're old to this show. You're down on the NFL? You're Mr. NFL.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like it. Obviously, I'll still follow it. But
I see a kink in the armor here.
I just see some small erosion taking place. This Thursday night football thing bugs me. And what they come out with the other day, a study saying that it's just not good for the players to force them to go on a Thursday, especially when you're the traveling team. And yet the league will stand up on its shield, led by the commissioner, Roger, I'm drunk with power, Goodell. We're all about safety. We're all about this. But you're going to have these Thursday games every week. I think that is comical. And get rid of them, with the exception of Thanksgiving Day and night. I'm okay with three Thanksgiving games. That's fine. But who's kidding who? You and I have been in that Viking locker room. Have you ever heard a player say, boy, I can't wait. We play Thursday after the Sunday game. I've never heard it.
Yeah. All right. We need to move on, but we will continue to talk purple and talk NFL. You and I caught up with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman in our interview with him as we talk about the upcoming season.
All right, Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket as we talk a lot of Minnesota Vikings this week. And joining us is the general manager, Rick Spielman, and the Vikings, of course, number 28, Adrian Peterson. He's back. I know you guys have to be thrilled about it. Hopefully get this in the rearview mirror quickly. But that's huge.
Yeah, no, I know we stuck by him all the way through this. And I know everyone from the top down believes in Adrian Peterson as a person. I know he came out and talked through everything at his press conference. He made some mistakes, admitted his mistakes, trying to grow from those mistakes. But I also know the Adrian Peterson that's done a lot of goodness community since he's been a Minnesota Viking. He has a very good heart. We believe in him. We're glad this is kind of all behind us right now, and we can move forward and focus on football in the 2015 season coming up.
And he sure makes you a better football team, doesn't he?
It was amazing to watch him yesterday in practice. And the first time he got a little toss sweep, I can tell you just off that glimpse, Adrian Peterson hadn't lost a step at this point.
Is there any fence mending that has to be done between the Vikings organizationally and Adrian, or can you just move forward and try to win football games?
I think everybody's ready to move forward. And everybody's, Adrian came in on his own, wanted to be a part of this. And I think we're our whole focus now is getting, and Coach Zimmer is getting this team ready for the for next season.
And this has got to be one of the teams that people have to be looking over their shoulder and wondering how good this Viking team could be this year. Teddy Bridgewater, year two. Adrian Peterson, you guys had another solid draft. You got a couple of guys that played well last year for you as rookies. All right, I think that people have to start looking at the Vikings.
Oh, we got a young football team, and I know we still got a ways to go, and that's why we're in the OTAs right now. But I know Coach Zimmer and what this staff has done with our young guys, and even the guys that we've had the previous year before this staff came in with Xavier Rose and Sharif Floyd and the way Harrison Smith's playing for us, and, you know, to get Kyle Rudolph back and be healthy with the addition of Mike Wallace. I mean, watching our receivers run out there, we're going to have some speed at that position, and to get, Adrian Peterson back in the backfield along with some of those other weapons. But you gotta, you know, ball's gotta bounce away some. You gotta stay healthy through the season, and you gotta focus on one game at a time. And, you know, right now our whole goal is, and I know Coach Zimmer, is how we get better tomorrow. That's what we're worried about next.
How much better of a coach will Mike Zimmer be in year two? I mean, obviously year one, there's some feeling out process for him.
I think just being around it one time and going through, did an unbelievable job going through the game management situations last year, learning that. First time not only, you know, calling the defenses, but being involved in the offense, being involved in the special teams, just running the team. How we run practices, and myself and him, we sat back after the season, we reviewed everything from A to Z, listened to some of the things that he wanted to change and some of the things that we can work at to get better, and that's what we're focused on going forward. The other thing that's kind of interesting is last year at this time, everybody was learning the new systems, the new offensive system, the new defensive system. So you bring in the new players this year, you have the players that were here last year that can also aid the coaches into trying to explain to some of the new players not only what the X's and O's part of, but the culture that we're trying to build.
You know, a year ago you lost Matt Castle early, and that was a bad break. But in retrospect, it accelerates the development of Teddy Bridgewater. How much better is Teddy now with almost a full year under his belt in year two?
I think you saw him as he played. He's going to go through some rookie bumps, but the way he played those last six games. And we had to adjust our offense, too, because we were built a certain way with Matt Castle, and we lost Adrian for most of the season that we didn't anticipate. So now all of a sudden, I thought Norv Turner and that offensive staff did a great job adjusting to the scheme, to the personnel that we were working with. They understand what Teddy can do better. I think Teddy has a much better understanding of now where what this system is about. And most of the successful quarterbacks in this league are the quarterbacks that have carry that year in and year out are the guys that are in the same system, that have that continuity and understand where the checkdowns are, where second, third options are. And I think that'll continue with Teddy. Is by no means is, you know, he may be 3 or 4 years down the road, but we're expecting, and Teddy worked extremely hard this offseason, so we're expecting him to take another step forward this year.
You know, and without AP last year, obviously Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata got a lot of touches that they otherwise would not have gotten. How important was that, and how much better does that make them?
Yeah, to see McKinnon last year, you know, come in and for his first time playing that position. And you've seen him. There's another guy that's a great athlete that we try to focus on, and the coach is doing a great job developing those guys. And he took, you know, that wasn't as big of adjustment for him last year. So he did a great job, and Matt Asiata shows the power and strength that he has near the goal line. So, we're going to be pretty deep in the backfield, I think.
Rick, thanks for your time. Good luck to JD. They pursue their collegiate career.
Yeah. Good luck to them, too.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Time now for our weekly Leech Lake fishing update, and we head up to Leech with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. Al, a busy weekend on the lake, 4th of July weekend. It's always that way. Let's start with the walleye bite. What's looking good? What should we be using? Where should we go?
Okay, we definitely have slowed down walleye because of the The big, we've got a massive mayfly hatch, and they're definitely chock full of that, plus the crayfish have shed their exoskeletons, so they're feeding on both of them. But the bite is still adequate. You're going to catch some fish. It's not like it was. I would suggest that you fish with crawlers and leeches. That seems to be the daytime pattern with spinners up front, and we are still recommending to people with the gold spinner. Run at least a 36-inch leader, and Nightcrawler and leech probably have one on each one of them. The other way that's working is just rigging, just putting them on there and working their way through the rocks and the sandbars. It seems like that's picking up. The Walker Bay area has now started. The humps don't have the fish so much, but so do the shorelines do have it. The big lake, the big rock reefs out again, like we told you, in the Pelican area, through that particular zone, also up into Sucker Bay and Portage Bay, those are going. So that gives you some options. Now, even in the evening, I would suggest start kicking and taking a look at crankbaits. And there you want to go to number 5 and 7 shad wraps, because you're going to fish shallow water early and then, or late, and then starting probably with 10-foot water. Look, crayfish pattern, perch pattern, fire tiger works good. And one that really works good on every lake, it seems like, is that purple back one with sparkles on the side. For some unknown reason, they're feeding on that. So the walleye bite's good. Where to go, Wally? I would come again to the middle of the lake, the major basin, and then if the that doesn't work, go to the area around the Goose Island, the west of Goose, up into the hardwoods, the meadows, and Sucker Bay. That seems to be the most productive.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk some muskie, and you can give us some ideas on what people should be doing if they're muskie fishing. We're talking to Al Moss here on our Leech Lake Fishing Report. More with Al right after this. Time out. Stay with us.
Attention fishermen. Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3-bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
And we continue along on our Leech Lake Fishing Report. All right, Al, you mentioned to me before we started the show that you thought the muskie bite is something that folks might be interested in this weekend. Give me an update on that.
Well, we're definitely starting to see a lot more fish. There haven't been a lot of fishermen because the walleye bite has been so good, so they've been staying to that species. But now that the water temp is up into the 70s, the muskies are much more active. So what I would suggest to you right now is to start to look to these big cabbage beds, probably even still yet to the north end of the lake, the Portage Bay area, the 5 Mile area, and Sucker Bay on the deadhead side has tremendous weed beds. Those I would take a look at staying to the outside and throwing in and over the top of them.
All right. Very good, Al. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good. You too.
All right. That's Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman, with us on our Leech Lake Fishing Report. Eric and I will be back with our final segment right after this. Time out.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we're back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket, as we wrap it up for yet another week. This is the July 4th edition of the show. A lot of fireworks this week. An explosive show. And we still have some left. We got to talk MLS.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Major League Soccer. You know, July 1 was that unofficial, official deadline that they wanted the Twin Cities to get everything solved stadium-wise if they want to get a soccer team up here. And
I see you want to put the soccer stadium out in Brooklyn Park.
I do.
I see you lobbying for that now.
I do. This is a window here.
How far from your house is that?
Wouldn't be very far.
Okay, that's what I figured.
But this makes sense, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
why do we have to have a soccer stadium downtown anywhere? We have football downtown, baseball. We have CHS Field downtown St. Paul. Timberwolves and the Lynx are in Minneapolis downtown.
Wild
are downtown St. Paul. Let's go back to the burbs. Because here's my thinking. If I were doing the marketing for the Minnesota United Min U team.
Good luck.
My
but
pitch,
go ahead.
And Brooklyn Park is the city that wants it. My pitch would be this. This used to be a state where tailgating was huge. This really was the birthplace of tailgating. The Vikings, the Kicks, the North Stars out at the old Mets Center.
Twins.
Mets Stadium. Twins even. That's long gone. That ship has sailed. There's no tailgating anymore, really, for Minnesota sports. You could have that in Brooklyn Park. I know the area they're looking at near the Minnesota 610, U.S. 169 corridor.
You want a tailgate? Go to a drive-in movie. Go out to the Valley High.
That might be what I have to do.
I'm telling you. That's, if you want a tailgate, go out to the Valley High out near Woodbury out there.
They grill out there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I think there's another drive-in out in Elko now at the Elko Speedway. I think they allow grilling there as of this year. So they go to the drive-in movie, and you can get your tailgate.
Drive-ins are coming back, aren't they?
They are. Very popular. I'm telling you, you go out to the Valley High. You better not go out there on a Saturday much past 7:30. You're not going to get a spot. It is packed.
Yeah, that's retro movies there. Well, a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it's, you know, taking them back in time. It's has a little more simple feel to it.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. That's fine. Drive-ins are cool.
Yeah. So, but you want to put this soccer stadium in Brooklyn Park so that there could be tailgating.
Well,
is basically your thinking here.
Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but here's my pitch for the new pitch, if you will. Bad pun, but I said it anyway. Okay. Tailgating can certainly be part of the equation because you got a footprint out there that would allow for your soccer-specific stadium, a surrounding parking lot. You could probably have shops, bars, restaurants that pop up. You're near two major freeways. You're still in Hennepin County. Brooklyn Park has a population over 78,000. Huge immigrant population now. Liberians, Nigerians, Hmong, Latin Americans. All sorts of, it's a melting pot, not to mention, you know, a lot of the suburban whites who have been there for many decades, and some of those kids play youth soccer or high school soccer. So you have a good mix, a soccer-centric area. You're still close to Minneapolis, and, you know, St. Paul's not that far away. I think it would work, and I think it would be a different option than always having to go downtown and worry about where you're going to park for either events in St. Paul or Minneapolis. It, to me, I would market the heck out of the tailgating because, as you and I know, when we go to Packer games in Green Bay,
that's true,
Chiefs games in Kansas City, or I went to the Colorado Rapids MLS game last year in suburban Denver, way away from downtown, free parking, you know, everybody in there having a good time, the grills are out before the game. I just think that's something that we need in Minnesota.
No, you're not going to get it if it's downtown, I can tell you that.
No.
I mean, there is zero chance of that. And they can try and recreate it all they want with rail gating by the new Viking stadium, which, by the way, that's just a monstrosity. Holy smokes. Every time I go by there, it's unbelievable. That is, that thing better work. I mean, that thing better be very, very popular because that is just one ugly piece of architecture downtown.
Well, apparently U.S. Bank likes it.
Yeah, well.
They put their name on it.
Yeah, I see that. They put their name on it.
Whatever. You on board with it yet? Have they won you over?
No. No, man. I mean, you know, and once you go inside, I'm sure it'll be the nicest dome on earth, but it's still a dome.
You stole the words out of my mouth. I can't be negative on it anymore. It's going up. I didn't get what I wanted outdoors with tailgating. So my stance is we're going to have the best dome on earth. I think you phrased it perfectly. We will. Best dome.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's going to be. Yeah.
Have the birds began their migration to Texas yet? I would urge them to get going. That thing's almost done.
What side of that thing's going to flip open so they can open the windows? I'm still not figuring out. Is it the side that faces to the west? I don't get it. I've kind of looked at that thing.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think the skyline side, which would be the west. I don't know.
Yeah,
but you're talking. That's a skyscraper stadium.
Oh, I know.
It goes way up.
I know.
There is literally no parking to speak of around it. Even at the old Metrodome, there was that east side lot where you could squeeze a few cars.
Oh, no, this stadium takes all of that and then some.
Yes.
No, it's a monstrosity. I don't know. Every time I pass by it, I just...
Where will Ziggy park his limo?
Well, I'm sure he's got a spot underground
yeah, sure,
underneath the stadium. What do you think? Probably the players will have something under there, too.
Hey, good news for the Gopher basketball program.
I heard.
Bo Ryan's going away.
Bo Ryan's leaving. They're going to have to endure one more year, though.
One more year of Bo sweeping the Gophers, and then it's over. And then we'll see if they get their assistant in there. But, boy, Bo has owned Minnesota, I think, 16-6 in his 14 years, 10-1 in Madison.
And I see that USA Today was all over it. They said Bo Ryan, who began his career at Platteville Whitewater. I'm sure the people in the UW system appreciate them merging two schools.
Yeah.
On opposite sides of the state.
Indeed. Yeah, they couldn't be more off on that one. Yeah. Nation's newspaper, you're a little better than that.
Yeah, you would think. By the way, for those of you not in the know, it would be UW-Platteville and UW-Whitewater.
Right.
And Bo had nothing to do with UW-Whitewater.
Well, FedEx out the thank yous. One goes to Clarence Fields, also to Al Moss, Rocky for lining this thing up, and Rick Spielman. For Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying, so long, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your MLS to Brooklyn Park ticket.
Oh, boy.